We wanted to look, since it is Thanksgiving coming up this week, and you know, one of the things that we have a tendency to do sometimes is only be thankful around the time of the holidays like Thanksgiving, because it reminds us, kind of like, you know, we only think of being kind to mother near Mother's Day, and we don't even bother with dad at Father's Day because, you know, he's dad. But, you know, that's kind of the way we are about, you know, a holiday, and we set one day, and wow, we do this today, and then we'll forget about it the rest of the year. And I don't want us to become guilty of that. But I do know that what we need to do, there it goes, is be thankful. And we talk about, though, never ceasing praise and thanks to God. Today I want us to look at some reasons we should all be thankful for the Blue Ridge Church. And I know some of you aren't from here and you're just visiting, and that's fine. You should be thankful that you had a place to come this morning when you're out of town traveling. But a lot of these things, you can be thankful for your home congregation as well. It's not just our congregation that has many of these aspects to it. So I want us to think about that. So we'll start off by just observing that we should be thankful. And we should be thankful for several things. First of all, we should be thankful for a faithful congregation to work, worship, and be a part of. To work with, worship with, and to be a part of. We should be thankful for that. You know, that's not the case everywhere. There are a lot of places in this world where there are not Christians, and certainly not a large group that can come together. It may be the case that they're facing persecution, and they have to be together in little small groups of three or four or five to stay under the radar. Or it may be that there just aren't any other Christians within miles and miles of where they are. And certainly in parts of the world that's the case. But here we are very fortunate that we have many brothers and sisters that we can be together with. We can work together, we can worship together, and we can be part of this congregation. As we think about that, we want to think about Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. Romans 1, 8, Paul writes to the church in Rome, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all." Now, this is really kind of portrait. It should have been y'all. And we know that. We know Paul was a good southerner. But I thank my God for you all. That's y'all, right? And he said, that's the first thing. That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And one of the things that impressed me about the church here in Blue Ridge when I first heard of you was that when I talked to other people about the church here, everybody had good things to say. That's not always the case with the church. But everybody just bragged about the church here. And I'm not talking about the members bragging about themselves. I'm talking about other people. When I talked to them about the church here and said, "Hey, well, you know, we're looking at this congregation up here in Blue Ridge, Georgia," they, "Oh, that's a great church. That's a good group of people. It's a wonderful place." And so Paul thought that about the church in Rome as well. Probably partially because he had some friends there. If you look at the end of Romans, he knew those folks, and he knew they were good people. He knew they were good Christians. But he says, "I give thanks for you, all of you, because your faith is spoken of. Because people know about you." Now that doesn't mean we can't be better. We can always grow and learn and do better and be better and help others know Christ better. But that's a good thing for us to be known for our faith. And of course the scripture that was read, Ephesians 1, we read 15 through 21, that was just one sentence. I just wanted to finish the sentence. You know, Paul has a tendency to kind of have these run-on long sentences. But in verses 15 and 16 particularly, he says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love to all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. A good church that's a faithful church, that's one that you can work with and worship with, that you can be a part of that congregation, that part of that family. Because that's what the church is supposed to be. We're the family of God. And we need to work on that and enhance that. But we need to be thankful for a faithful congregation to be part of. We also, though, need to be thankful for each member who has done some of these following things or received some of these things from God. First of all, we want to be thankful for each member who has received the Word. If you haven't received the Word this morning, it's a good time to do it. Anytime is a good time to receive the Word of God. But we know that many of those here are Christians. They've received the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, Paul says, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing." Now that's important, without ceasing. You know, again, sometimes we're tempted to just be thankful, you know, right around Thanksgiving, because, well, it's Thanksgiving, so you're supposed to be thankful then. Of course, sometimes we just grumble and complain just as much around Thanksgiving as we do the rest of the year. But we should be thankful at that time, but we should be thankful without ceasing, like Paul was. We don't need to stop being thankful. Because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as the Word of man, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectively works also in you that believe. We need to be thankful for those who have received the Word of God, and how deeply that has affected their lives. Now, of course, none of us are perfect, but the fact that we've received the Word is a benefit and a blessing that we should all be thankful for, and we should be thankful for one another in that way. We should also be thankful for every member who has been chosen for salvation. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, I kept thinking, maybe I've got a typo here because I've got 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and then I got 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but it's not a typo. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth." God's chosen us for salvation. If that's not something that we ought to be able to be thankful for, and to be thankful for each other one, and to want as many people as we can know and meet and bring to enjoy that same blessing, so that we can be even more thankful for even more people being able to be chosen for salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. And of course, we need to be thankful for each member who has obeyed. Romans 6:17 says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but now you've become the servants of righteousness because you have obeyed." You've obeyed. Not just obeyed, but obeyed from the heart, the doctrine that was delivered to you. We've obeyed what God told us to do, and we've become His children as a result of that. We've become part of His family. We need to be thankful for each member who has obeyed God. We also want to be thankful for each member who has received God's grace. And of course, a lot of these are in close connection. That's part of being a member of the body of Christ, is having these things, having received the Word and been chosen for salvation, and having obeyed and having received God's grace. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ." Oh, we should be so thankful for the grace of God. We've been talking in the adult class in the auditorium about the book of Galatians, and particularly the last couple weeks we've been talking about the law of Moses and how that couldn't save us. that law only condemns and points out fault and points out disobedience and sin and wrong. And oh, how great it is that under Christ we have grace, that we can be forgiven instead of God tallying up every wrong thing we do. He'd probably get tired of counting with most of us, wouldn't he? He'd get tired of counting all the things that we do wrong. But because of Jesus Christ, we can have grace and forgiveness. And then we should be thankful for those who have been redeemed. Have you been redeemed? Colossians 1:12-14. Giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Do you know you're a saint? The Bible tells us we are. If we're Christians, if we've been redeemed, we're saints. We don't have to wait until we're dead and gone for 100 years before we can be considered saints. The Bible says the saints are the living Christians who are redeemed out of the world and part of the body of Christ. But he says you share and be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Have you been bought back? All of us, Isaiah says, like sheep, went astray. We all went off and followed after Satan instead of sticking with God. But God bought us back. He redeemed us. And He reclaimed us as His own. Have you been redeemed? Are you thankful for all of your fellow brothers and sisters who have also been redeemed? Are you working to help others who are still enslaved by sin, enslaved by Satan, so that they too can be bought back from slavery to be redeemed as you've been? But we can be thankful for those, every member who's been redeemed. But then also, we want to be thankful for a place where we can do the following things. First of all, a place where we can triumph in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul says, "Now thanks to God, who causes us always to triumph in Christ." Now you know, without Christ, we wouldn't triumph. If we were on our own, we would lose. We would fail. But with Christ, we triumph. Always. We can always triumph. Now, there aren't a lot of things in this world that you can say always about. Paul says we can always triumph in Christ. And making known the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. So not only are we triumphing in Christ, but we're letting others know about Him. We're letting others smell the good aroma of Christ in our lives. At least that's what we're supposed to be doing. Everywhere we go, the odor of Christ should go with us. Not the stink and stench of sin and death, but the beautiful aroma of life. You ever notice that in the, you know, at this time of the year the leaves have fallen, they're gonna be rotting if you don't, you know, people bag them up and send them off, but out in the woods they'll be rotting, and it kinda not the greatest of smells, you know, as they start to rot. Dead rotting things aren't pleasant. But then in the spring, when the flowers come up and they bloom, and then it smells good. You see, life smells wonderful. Death, it doesn't smell so good. God has, through Jesus Christ, replaced the smell of death that was all over us from the sin that we were entangled in. And He's replaced that with the smell of the life that comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we need to spread that good smell all throughout the world. We need to spread it around to everybody that we come in contact with. Smells better than perfume and cologne. It's a wonderful smell. We need to be thankful for a place where we can help through prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. You also helping together by prayer for us, that the gift bestowed upon us by means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. You know, sometimes we don't realize. We say, well, I can't do this or I can't do that. And we forget that we have a power to be able to help through prayer. Even if we can't get out there and do some of those things, especially as we get older. Well, I can't keep doing the things that I did when I was younger. That's okay. Because as long as you can pray, you can help. And we are thankful for a place where we can come together and help one another through prayer. But also, we can have a group of people that we can know are praying for us, that we're praying for. That's something to be thankful for. I'll just plug one more time our little booklets about prayer that we have out on the table out there. If you haven't picked one of those up, if you're interested, pick one of those up. We will be getting some card lists of things to pray for you to pick up in the next few weeks as well. But prayer is so important. Sometimes we forget it. We think, well, I can't do much. All I can do is pray. And we even have, I saw recently after the shootings that have happened recently and with the fires in California and other tragedies that happen, and people will say, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with you. And some people who are not believers have mocked that. And they've said, oh, how silly to say our thoughts and prayers. Like, well, your prayers obviously didn't do anything because these tragedies still happen. They just don't understand the power of prayer. Prayer is not going to stop every tragedy or every natural disaster in the world from happening. That's not the point of prayer. But the prayer is to help and to comfort us and to comfort others. And it does bring help from the Lord. And we need to be sure that we don't forget about that. But it's also a place that we can be thankful for because we can have fellowship in the gospel. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch then as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. We're part of helping others when we join together with them. We may not be able to go over it, and we've had missionary reports come in and give report about the mission work that they're doing. We may not all be able to go and do that mission work, but we can have a fellowship in the spreading of the gospel. We may not all be able to do all of the things, but we can be partakers in it through supporting that work, and we can support it financially, we can support it with our time, we can support it when those missionaries come back to the States and need help here, and we can support it with prayer. There are many things that we can do to support the gospel being spread throughout the world. Of course, all of us need to be doing our part to spread it to those closest around us. We may not be able to go across the globe, but we all know people that need the gospel, and we need to share that. We also need to be thankful for a place where we can love all the saints. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 8, Paul says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. That's a wonderful thing. Love to all the saints. Now, sometimes I've known a couple hundred people or more that might have had the wrong idea about the saints, their fellow saints. They might have thought, as the old poem says, to dwell with the saints in heaven, that will be glory. To dwell with them here on earth, that's a different story. Sometimes we don't always love all the saints like we should. But we need to be thankful for a place where we can. And we need to work on that. We need to build that up. We need to love all the saints. Now I know some of us are not as lovable. Some of us are a little rough around the edges. But that's okay. We still need to practice love toward even those that are a little rough around the edges. Even those that are a little prickly and hedgehog-like or porcupine-like. And it's kind of hard to get real close to them. Even those folks, we need to love them. We need to love all the saints. We need to continue to do that and grow in that area as well. Knowing that God loves all of those individuals. And we need to learn to be like Him. It's also, of course, a place where we can work in faith and love. You know, it seems like more and more in our world, people don't want to work. It seems like more and more people are looking for a way out of work, a way to get out of it and claim disability or to be able to get something for nothing. Now, obviously we all know there are people who truly have disabilities. There are people that have all sorts of health issues that keep them from working. But it seems like a lot of folks that are healthy and able don't want to work. Well, that bleeds over into the church as well and the work of the church. There are some people who just don't want to work for the Lord. We need to be thankful that we have a place where we can work in faith and love. I want to think about that for just a minute. You know, sometimes we look at work as a drudgery. We look at it as a negative thing. We almost look at it as though it's a curse that God has placed upon us. And I think we miss some things when we do that. In Ecclesiastes, the writer of Ecclesiastes talks about how good work is on several occasions throughout there. He talks about laboring with your hands and being able to rest and sleep at night is a good thing. But I want us to think back even further than Ecclesiastes. Let's think back to the Garden of Eden. When God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it was a perfect paradise, right? Where there was no sin. There was nothing bad there. But what was the first thing, well, at least one of the first things that God told them to do? One, of course, was to reproduce and fill the earth. He told them to do that. But the other was to tend the garden and keep it. In other words, work. Work was not a curse that came on us after sin entered the world or something like that. Work was part of paradise. Work was part of the perfect plan that God had in the Garden of Eden for man and woman. So we need to change our attitude about work if we're thinking of it as a negative thing. And I hear that sometimes. Well, don't work too hard. Now, I know it is possible to be a workaholic and to work too hard. But there's not a lot of folks that really fall into that one, okay? Most people are more likely to fall the other direction and not work enough. And as we are Christians in the church, we need to work in faith and love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love. Work of faith, labor of love. Those are two things we should be known for. The church in Thessalonica was known for that. And also their patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. He goes on to explain some of the things that they did and how they followed him and followed his example and did so to the point that in verse 7 it says, "You became examples to all who believe in the area of Macedonia." We need to try to have the kind of family that is looked to as, wow, they're an example to everyone around them, to all the other congregations in our area, to be the example of working in faith and laboring in love. And of course, keeping that patience and hope as well. We also want to consider that we have a place to bring joy to one another. It was so good. I mean, not that I like to walk in late, but it was good to walk in and see everybody enjoying one another's company. I have been to some congregations where everybody came in, sat in their pew and didn't talk to anybody else, and then got up and left, and there was no fellowship and there was no joy. And they were there because they had been told, if you don't go, you're going to hell, and so you got to go. And they were miserable the whole time they were there, wishing they weren't there. You know, and honestly, they probably might as well have not been there because they weren't really worshiping God and they weren't really getting anything out of being with the saints. And that's sad. That shouldn't. We ought to delight in being together and bringing joy to one another. Now, David said, "I was glad when they said, 'Let's go to the house of the Lord.'" That's something to look forward to. I look forward to it all week as a time to be able to have joy with my fellow Christians. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 9 says, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy that we have, the joy for your sakes before our God." He talks about we have joy, and thinking of you brings us joy. When you think of your other brothers and sisters, if you quit looking at me, I know it's hard to be thankful when you're looking at this. But if you look around at one another and you think, look at all the people around me that bring me joy, that make me glad to get to see them on the first day of the week when we come together to worship. We bring joy to one another. It's a wonderful experience. And I'm going to tell you, the world doesn't have that. You know, the people that go and hang out at the bar, I mean, the sitcom Cheers aside, people don't get excited and happy when they're hanging out at the bar together. But we have that ability to have joy and have a good time together and not have a hangover in the morning. We got good things that we can have. And you know, even at, you know, football games and things like that, sporting events, only half the people leave happy. The other half are depressed. You know, here we can all be victorious because we get the triumph in Christ always. We don't have to look at the negative. Nobody loses when we come together. Isn't that a good thing? We don't have to lose. 1 Thessalonians 3:9 tells us about that. And we should also be thankful for a place where we can grow in faith. We don't want to stagnate. We don't want to go backwards. We don't want to lose any of our faith. We want to grow in our faith. And again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, because that your faith grows exceedingly." Wow, what a blessing. Paul really liked the church at Thessalonica, didn't he? Do you remember what happened to him at Thessalonica? After he got to Thessalonica and started teaching, some of the Jews that didn't believe ran him out of town. And they kept chasing him from town to town. But when he thought about the Christians, those that did believe, he was thankful for them. He was thankful in spite of the hard times that were caused by those people from Thessalonica that didn't believe. The joy of those that did believe overshadowed that and overpowered that. So that he never mentions those things. Luke writes about it in the book of Acts, but Paul never mentions the negative folks at Thessalonica who were out to get him. He only is thankful for the saints, for the Christians, for those that believed, and those that he was hoping would be able to grow in their faith. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other. Now, when we think of charity, we think of giving money to the poor. But that's not all that charity means. Charity carries with it the idea of showing grace to one another. You know, we appreciate God's grace, but are we gracious toward each other? Are we willing to forgive each other? Or do we, well, you know, one time they said something that kind of offended me and I'll never forgive them for that. No. Forgive. Be gracious. Look for ways to get along better. And overlook those things. Grow in faith and grow in their charity toward one another. It's also, we can be thankful for a place to make wonderful memories. You know, many of us have come here from other congregations. And there may be a few that have, you know, have been here their whole lives. But a lot of us have come from other congregations. And so, and we can tell you, every other congregation where you've been, you have some wonderful memories. You may also have some memories that aren't so wonderful, but you have those wonderful memories. And here we have a chance to make wonderful memories. A chance to be together. And even if we don't leave and go to some other place, we still have those memories. Many of you, I'm sure, remember some people who were members of the church here, faithful members of the church here, who have passed on to their reward. Now, I've heard of them, but I never knew them. But many of you have memories of those people. People who were faithful part of this congregation. And you have those wonderful memories. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in prayer day and night. I thank God that I remember you. Those good memories. Wonderful memories. And we can make more of them. And we can help the young people to make some memories so that when they're our age, they'll remember. They'll look back and remember those things. And we want to keep passing that on. The last thing that we want to notice is that we have a place where we can share our suffering. You know, we talked about joy and we've talked about how wonderful our memories can be, but you know, there's suffering as well. The Bible says that we should rejoice with those who rejoice, but also weep with those who weep. There will be some who suffer. And we need to be thankful for them. But we also need to be thankful when we're suffering that we have others that we can share that with. So that we don't have to go through it alone. That we don't have to face the difficulties and trials of life by ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19, he says, For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Now in this case, he's particularly talking about someone who is being persecuted for righteousness. He's not just talking about someone who's sick or who's lost a loved one or who has gone through a divorce or whose children have left the faith or, you know, other things that we often face that are times of suffering in our lives. And as I look around, I see a lot of folks that are suffering in one way or another. And I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for your example of not giving up and not just throwing in the towel and going home and saying, forget about it, but the fact that you're here with us, that you're sharing your struggles and your suffering with us. And we want to share that with you. I mean, obviously we can't, you know, we can't fix it a lot of times. We can't make it go away. We can't make it better even really. And we certainly can't take it for you. We can't suffer for you. But we can be with you. And we can encourage you to keep on. So if you're here and you're one of those folks this morning that's suffering, I want you to know we're sharing with you. We're weeping with you. We know that it's difficult, but we want to help in any way we can. So as we conclude and as we get ready to depart, what are you most thankful for about your church family or our church family? I know, like I said, some of you are visiting, so your church family may not be our church family, but what are you most thankful for about our church family? Think about those things. Remember those good things. And let's mention those things to one another. One of the saddest things is when we don't tell each other how much we appreciate each other. When we don't say the good things to each other. That's that. You can't accuse Paul of that. I mean, Paul let people know that he was thankful for them. He let them know he appreciated them. Sometimes we think, well, they know how much I care about them. Let them know. They may not, they may, yeah, maybe they do know, but even if they know, I mean, is there anybody here who just hates for a person that you love and care about to let you know that they love and care about you too? I mean, maybe there's somebody, or maybe somebody out there that just hates that. But most of us, we can't get enough of that. Having our friends and loved ones tell us how much they love and appreciate us, we can't get enough. If you're here this morning for any reason, you have a need to respond to God's invitation. Maybe you haven't been as thankful as you should for your church family. Maybe you haven't been doing enough that others could be thankful for you. Maybe you just haven't been sharing that. Maybe you need to make the decision today that you're going to do better and you're going to share your thanksgiving with others. You're going to let others know how much you appreciate them, and you're going to let God know how much you thank Him for the wonderful blessings that He's given us in the church here.